namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om 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 namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 3, the Bhumi Gita, Text 19.
Santushta Karuna Maitra.
Santushta Karuna Maitra.
Shanta Dantasta Tikshava.
Shanta Dantasta Tikshava.
Atma Rama Samadrisha.
Atma Rama Samadrisha.
Prayasa Shramana Jana.
Prayasa Shramana Jana.
Santushta.
Santushta.
So satisfied.
So
Karuna.
Karuna.
Merciful.
Merciful.
Maitra.
Maitra.
Friendly.
Friendly.
Santa.
Santa.
Pacified.
Pacified.
Danta.
Danta.
Self-controlled.
Self-controlled.
Tatikshava. Tolerant.
Atmarama.
Atmarama. Enthused from within.
Enthused from within.
Samadrisha.
Samadrisha.
Possessed of equal vision.
Possessed of equal vision.
Payasa.
Payasa.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Shamana.
Shamana.
Endeavoring diligently.
Endeavoring diligently.
For self-realization.
For self-realization.
Jana.
Jana.
The people.
The people.
Translation. The people of such a yuga are for the most part self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. They take their pleasure from within, see all things equally, and always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. Purport. Samadarshana, equal vision, is based on the perception of the Supreme Spirit behind all material variety and within all living entities. Om agyana chimadandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshun militamina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Jai Tanya Prabhunatananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivastavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. People are always hoping for good times, even within this dense darkness of the age of Kali. People have utopian dreams. There'll come a time when everyone behaves nicely, when there is world peace, lasting economic prosperity, and sense gratification without impediment. That is the Kali Yuga conception of happy times. The money is flowing. The booming employment market. There's all facility for sense gratification. And people have no worries. This is the Kali Yuga conception of good times on earth. People long for good times, but they actually don't know what are good times because they dream of good times according to their contamination by the modes of material nature. before you started to chant Hare Krishna and become purified. Just think of what your conception of good times was. When you would think of what the world needed, what the earth needed. You could only think in material terms. The world needs more jobs. The world needs less wars. The world needs everyone to respect one another. But all that is impossible without Divya Gyan, divine knowledge. And it's impossible without austerity. In other words, it's very useless for us to dream of a nice material time, especially in Kali Yuga. Very foolish waste of energy. We need to understand our situation, our location, our circumstances, and then we can adjust our dreams accordingly. Kali Yuga, as you know, means everything goes wrong. And people try to enjoy themselves in the most devilish ways. So they don't understand how to have peace. They don't even know what is peace. They think peace means no military conflict, no crime. But meanwhile, everyone is doing the biggest crimes by ignoring the supreme proprietor, by slaughtering other creatures. Yet they expect peace. As you know, they even slaughter their own children in the womb. Yet they expect peace. Sometimes people say that you devotees don't seem to take the efforts in the world for peace so seriously. Why are you not participating in these various movements and efforts throughout the world for bringing about peace? We don't want to agitate people unnecessarily, but our point is you don't know what peace is. You don't know the real price you have to pay for peace. That real price is purification. Knowledge. Austerity. Austerity means not that you torture yourself, but austerity means you don't try to fulfill every material desire that comes to your mind. That is austerity. People today are taught just the opposite. Whatever comes to you, you should try to fulfill. Whatever desire that comes to you, make it your purpose to fulfill and try to satisfy. Then you're a healthy person. This looks to the ignorant eye like freedom. Maybe some of you, when you first came from India to Australia, you thought, oh, the people are so free. They're not burdened by so many traditions and behavioral protocols. You thought like that, Nanda Mandira? Yes, yes. They're just open. So this is the material conception in Kali Yuga. Freedom means that whatever material desire comes to you, act on it. Fulfill your life's destiny. So the boys are taught this, the girls are taught this, and now there's competition between the men and women who can just do whatever they want to do. More often. Who can excel in just doing whatever comes to your mind? The men and women are competing. Previously in material society, the men would have more of an opportunity, and women were supposed to be very reserved, and they didn't have so many options for social expression. But now that's all changed. And the women are saying, we can also be wild.
Whatever the men can do, we can do. We should have complete options. So now everyone has gone crazy. Everyone's wild, thinking they'll be happy in that way. Everyone wants to be entertained and to entertain others. And they think in that way, life will be successful. So this is the disease that's covered the world. It's affecting everywhere. Just whatever comes to your mind, act on it. Then you'll be happy. Don't try to control yourself. And amidst all that madness, people expect there's going to be world peace and lasting economic prosperity. It's impossible. Sometimes even we as devotees think that. Wouldn't it be easier for Krishna consciousness to be appreciated throughout the world if there were no natural disasters, no wars, no stresses, no anxieties? Krishna knows what he's doing. He knows what it takes to bring people back to him, to bring the living entities back to him. He knows they don't listen except generally when there's some problem. Then they want to think, oh, what is God? Maybe we're doing something wrong. Now they are saying, human beings require a new story. The old story is not working. Just look at the economic crisis. Let's look at the environmental crisis. Look at the mental health crisis. The human race needs a new story. So when things pinch very severely, then human beings start to think, maybe we're doing something wrong. Otherwise, no. They would never consider that. It's like being a teenager. You think you know everything. And you think that your body and mind are telling you the truth. And so you associate with other teenagers. And you all think, we know what reality is. The adults, the parents, are not really in touch with reality. Then you have some problems. And you realize, maybe I don't know everything. So that is going on with society today. There are so many problems. And some people are thinking, we don't know who we are. We don't know what is happening. We read the descriptions of Satya Yuga. Let us hear it again. The people of Satya Yuga are, for the most part, self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. They take their pleasure from within, see all things equally, and always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. Now, those are not the values of society today. So how can people expect peace? How can they expect prosperity? Do you see that people today are for the most part self-satisfied? They don't even know what the self is, and they don't care. So how can they be self-satisfied? Do you see they're merciful? Their motto is, as long as I live, I don't care who else dies. As long as no tsunami comes here, that's all right. As long as the floods don't reach here, they can cover 2/3 of Victoria, but as long as they don't come down here, then everything is fine. Or if you're in India, you think, let all the disasters happen in Bangladesh and Pakistan. Bangladesh is meant for disaster. So everyone is thinking, I'm fine as long as the disasters happen somewhere else. And then when disaster comes to them, oh, they are so devastated. How? Why? I've lost everything. Where is God? How could God let this happen to me? Have you seen anywhere in Kali Yuga that people are friendly to all? They're not even friendly to all human beings, what to speak of other creatures. Are they peaceful? No, how can they be peaceful with an uncontrolled mind? Are they sober? Oh, they don't even like that word, sober. Sober means a life of no intoxication. Who wants that? Tolerant? No. The sign of power is that you don't tolerate anything. You always try to adjust every circumstance in which there could be some material inconvenience. If the temperature in your house is too cold, you adjust the dial. If it's too warm, you adjust the dial. Everything is adjusted. You adjust your TV, you adjust your video player, DVD player, you adjust your MP3 player. Everyone is in this adjusting consciousness. Everything has to be just right. But you cannot adjust your way through Kali Yuga. But there's a mad attempt to constantly adjust. And you get a false sense of power in that way. I have the ability to adjust so many things in my life. Just like all my electronic gadgets, I can adjust. There's no question of toleration. All right, it's a little cold, tolerate it. It's a little hot, tolerate it. This inconvenience, that inconvenience, tolerate it. No, people think that means you're poor, you're poverty-stricken. The more wealthy you are, the more you have the power not to tolerate. Things should go your way. That's the purpose of wealth. That's the definition of prosperity. I'm prosperous, I'm successful in life. That means I never tolerate anything. I want everything to my liking. What else? In Satya Yuga, they take their pleasure from within. People don't know how to do that today, no matter what religion they follow. And even when they talk about taking pleasure within, they have no idea how to do it. It just becomes some words. See all things equally. You can only see all things equally when you understand everything is happening by the arrangement of the Supreme, and you try to understand that arrangement. Otherwise, you must discriminate. This is a good time. This is a bad time. But someone who is wise just looks for the common factor. What is the use of this situation for my spiritual development? And of course, if you're a devotee, you think, what is the use of this situation for Krishna's pleasure? And the last quality listed here, Prayasa Shramana Jana, always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. Now in Kali Yuga, it's always endeavor diligently for economic development and sense gratification. The material comfort of my body, always endeavor diligently for that. And the topmost concern in your mind in Kali Yuga is my sense gratification as good as everyone else is getting? That's the topmost concern. Am I enjoying my senses like I see on the movie screen or on TV? Is that happening to me? No, there's something wrong with me. I'm not keeping up with Hollywood. I'm not keeping up with Bollywood. Now you have to do both. Keep up with both Hollywood and Bollywood. Then you are a proper citizen of the world. How can people expect peace and tranquility in this kind of madness? Still, you notice people have this desire for good times when everything is nice, when there is world peace and prosperity, when there'll be no problems,
maybe we'll make a big political change and things will be nice after that. We'll change the economic system completely, things will be nice after that. It's not possible. So devotees are the most realistic people. They're the most practical people. They understand how Kali Yuga works. Devotees understand what is possible in Kali Yuga and what is not possible. Kali Yuga is a very austere time for a sane human being. If you can understand that, you'll save yourself so much trouble. Why waste your time dreaming to make everything nice in Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga is a time where you can quickly go back to Godhead with your short life just by chanting Hare Krishna. Try to look at the psychology you have in yourself of dreaming. I want nice. I want a nice situation. I want a nice this. I want a nice that. There'll always be some agitation. There'll always be some material disturbance. A devotee, the Krishna Bhakta, does not put his hope in material nature. You're very suspicious about material nature. It may look like things are good now, but I know it's not going to last. And you're right. Just like your body, my body's feeling healthy now. I know it won't last. My economic situation looks fine now. I know there are going to be problems. This is Kali Yuga. Now, someone who lacks this transcendental vision thinks, how can you have that attitude? You're destroying your own happiness. You should always think it's going to be nice. Think positive. If you think everything's going to be nice, everything will be nice. If you want to be rich, think riches, riches. It'll all come to you. If you want to be with beautiful people, just think beauty, beautiful people. They'll surround you. It's all the power of positive thinking. It's all crazy. Sometimes even our own devotees become affected by this. It's not possible for there to be material peace and prosperity that lasts in Kali Yuga. Based on material methods, impossible. Now the Acharyas point out, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that in every yuga, the other yugas can appear as subdivisions. That means, in such a yuga, there can be a mini Kali Yuga. That's why even in such yuga, there are some demons. And even in Kali Yuga, there can be a mini such a yuga. So the devotees of Lord Chaitanya have that possibility to create a mini such a yuga, even within the age of Kali. For those who come under the umbrella of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're not affected internally by Kali Yuga. Externally, that's another thing. But we are not external, we are internal. We are the Lord's internal spiritual potency. Precisely speaking, we are His marginal potency. Internally, we can create a Satya Yuga and even beyond. Externally, the ocean will always be choppy. So the peace for devotees, the prosperity for devotees is within. Atma Arama, enthused from within. That is the devotee. If you come under Lord Chaitanya's umbrella during the rainstorm of Kali Yuga, you won't get wet. That means your highest purposes in life will proceed even amidst what looks like external difficulty. sometimes non-devotees look at the devotee lifestyle and they say, you go through the same problems we do, you get sick, you have to deal with visa issues, you have to deal with employment issues, you have to deal with, you know, housing issues, can you afford to live here or should you live there? You have to deal with landlords and banks. Even sannyasis have to deal with travel agents and airlines. So what's the difference? And you have to deal with complicated circumstances. But that is not the devotee's life. Those external circumstances are not the life of the devotee. To see the life of the devotee requires spiritual vision. As we heard in the purport, Samadarshana, equal vision, is based on the perception of the Supreme Spirit behind all material variety and within all living entities. This is what we are being trained to see. In this way, Krishna's devotee is in a different world. It's always going to be like that. And there'll always be some misunderstanding between the two worlds, of those aligned with Krishna and those not. This is not religious fanaticism to say that. It's just the fact of life in terms of perception. As Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, what is night for those materially engrossed is day for the transcendentalist, and vice versa. There's always going to be that division. You see, this division, you can't find out when it started. It's since time immemorial. As Bhagavad Gita states, Dwal Bhutta Saga Lokesmin Daiva Asura Evacha. There are always two classes of living entities in this world, divine and demoniac. It's always like that. You can't wish it away. Oh, make everyone nice so I can have a nice time. Sometimes, well, quite often, I hear from young persons in their 20s who are just entering university or finishing university, and often they say, why did the world have to have problems just when I'm reaching my prime? Why now? Why couldn't I have come of age, enter the university or finish the university during times like the 90s when it was booming, economic boom? Why? Just when I'm in my 20s, everything seems to be falling apart. It's not fair. I have to go through austerities. As soon as you have material boom, there must be material bust. That's the way it is. So everyone's trying to dance a certain way that I'll just deal with the world when there's boom. I don't want to deal with it when there's bust. But you can't have it one way. You have to take the whole package. Boom and bust. Peace and war. This is a world of duality. Health and sickness. Fame and infamy. The intelligent person becomes weary of all these dualities and looks to develop another way. So those persons who look to develop another way are eligible to live under Lord Chaitanya's umbrella and experience the Satya Yuga even within Kali Yuga. In fact, the Vaishnava can experience more than Satya Yuga. He or she can experience Vaikuntha. That is the top limit of potential available to you. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in Shuddha Bhakata Charanarenu Bhajananukula. He says when he's performing arti in his home to his deities, he sees his house transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. That's the top potential. So, don't expect outside of Lord Chaitanya's umbrella that you're going to find smooth sailing. You'll see it, just storms all around you. Expect that. And you take it as Krishna's mercy that you'll be inspired to focus on your spiritual practices more, because it will be very clear that's the only solution. So please try to understand this. Economic disturbances, climate disturbances, mental disturbances, health disturbances, that is the nature of Kali Yuga. It appears sometimes that everything is going to be nice, and then quickly the storm develops. Just like the weather in Melbourne. One minute it's very nice, then, oh, it's going to be such a nice day. In come the clouds and the rain. And then you're lamenting, oh, it's rainy, it's windy. Then the sun came out. Oh, how nice. So you're used to it. People are very affected by their external circumstances. Just like in Queensland or even Sydney, they say, Melbourne people, they read more, they're more intellectual. They have to be because of the weather. Whereas, you know, in Queensland or, you know, parts of New South Wales, it's so nice. What do you need to read for? Just get your surfboard, go to the beach. No worries. Yes, they told me like that. But Melbourne, also they say the same thing about New Zealand. Those Kiwis, yeah, they like nothing better than get a book, find a tree and sit under a tree and read. Same as Melbourne. That's why they have all those classes there, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav. They gotta do like that, the weather. But when a devotee moves to Queensland, Mwilamba, then your realities can change. Who needs Bhakti Shastri there? Just fun in the sun, take it easy. It's true that people, human beings, are very influenced by their externals. And unless one becomes a strong devotee, you'll also be influenced by your externals. A strong devotee can grow in any circumstance, whether it's Melbourne or the Gold Coast. But strong devotees, it's not like there's millions of them everywhere, although there should be. Of course, if you're determined to enjoy your senses, you can do that anywhere. Make that your number one goal. I think I told you before when I used to visit the northernmost city in the world, Murmansk in Russia, far above the Arctic Circle. And there are devotees there. There are Gornitai deities there. And they have 2 weeks of summer. And surrounding those 2 weeks, it's actually just winter. 50 weeks out of the year. And during the winter, the temperature can plunge to like 45, 50 degrees below zero. And the snow piles up so high that if you're in the top floor of your house, you don't have to go out downstairs to go out the door. You just go out the window because the snow is so high. You see people, you look out your window and you see people walking by your bedroom window. They're walking on the snow. So I asked devotees, well, this is a great place to be Krishna conscious because no one would feel inspired for material enjoyment here. They looked at me. Don't worry, Maharaj. It certainly goes on. I said, but what do you do when it's 50 degrees below zero? Well, you just shut the door, turn up the heat, and party. So if you're determined to enjoy your senses, you can do that anywhere. And if you're determined to serve Krishna, you can do that anywhere. But those who are in the in-between category, they are the ones who sometimes like this, sometimes like that. Oh, maybe I should serve Krishna more. No, maybe I should be more balanced and serve Maya more. Back and forth. What do you think, Prabhu? Do you think I should do this or do that? According to who you ask, who you associate with, they tell you different things. Don't be fanatical. Or they tell you you should try to be more Krishna conscious, chant more, read more. So those who are in the middle, they get very wishy-washy. They get influenced very easily. We're trying to always uplift. That takes a lot of effort to keep things on track. Let the spiritual winds predominate. That is the service of those devotees who want to assist Lord Chaitanya. They always keep things on track. Because the tendency of the material world is that things go off track. So that material tendency is there, and then the spiritual tendency of those devotees who want to assist Lord Chaitanya, their tendency is to always try to keep things on track. So it's a constant steering effort. Like when you're driving a car, you make sure it doesn't go too far this way, too far that way. You have to stay in the right lane. So this takes effort. So those who take up this service to Lord Chaitanya, how to create suitable circumstances for people in Kali Yuga to make spiritual advancement, they become very dear to Krishna. It's the highest occupation, it's the best employment. And such devotees quickly become self-satisfied, quickly become merciful, quickly become friendly to all, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. Quickly they learn how to take their pleasure from within and see all things equally. And quickly they become motivated to always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. This actually happens. Even though we think, I'm so unqualified, I don't deserve it. It happens. That is the miracle of devotional service. Any questions? Yes. How to be wishy-washy? How to be determined. Wishy-washy means you're influenced very easily by who's around you, like a teenager, you know? Teenager is subject to so much peer pressure. What are the other girls wearing? I should also wear. The other girls have makeup on. I should put on makeup. The other girls are, you know, they have a pink mobile phone. I should also get a pink mobile phone. And the teenage boys, the same thing. What are all them? What are the boys doing in my neighborhood? They're all playing rugby. Well, I should play rugby. Even men are also influenced by styles. All the boys are wearing those pants that are come way down on the hips and the bottom of the pants, the cuffs of the pants drag on the ground. Yeah, and then they wear the hoodies, you know, or the hat on backwards. All the boys are doing like that. No, I you know, even young Indian boys, they're dressing like that. Because looking around, oh, this is what's happening. This is how you are socially accepted. So just like you can see this in teenagers, Similarly, people carry those same characteristics when they so-called become adults. They become influenced so much by what's happening around them, what others are doing. And a weak devotee is very easily affected. That's why we struggle so hard to put new devotees in a circumstance in which they are protected, because they're so easily influenced. What's the use if you're trying to help someone take up the path of bhakti and they come to your temple and run into someone who says, "You know, you don't have to chant 16 rounds. Just be spiritual. You know, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful." It happens. I've seen it. Happens, maybe not here, but it happens all the time. Other places. So, generally people are very influenced, easily influenced, and even devotees, until they mature, they get affected by around them. "Did you hear this? Oh, really? So-and-so's doing like this. Oh, maybe I should do like that." It happens all the time. So in a temple where there is a strong Brahmana community, then Divya Gyan predominates, transcendental knowledge. But if without strong Brahmanas who can constantly put out, emanate the transcendental knowledge, then gossip predominates and lower influences predominate. "Did you hear this? Did you hear that? Why are you doing so much service, Prabhu? It's not necessary." "It's all about what's in your heart. That's all." So many devotees get easily caught up. And so we have to give them protection. Sometimes they don't want protection. "Who are you to try to control me? Just let me hear from whoever I want to hear and do whatever I want to do. Krishna's in my heart." So those are unfortunate cases. A strong devotee has as his rudder, his GPS system, the Shastra. How do you become a strong devotee? You associate with those who want to be strong. Very simple. Just like as a young lady devotee, if you just all day long hang out with those who are you'll become like that. The principle given in nectar devotion is you always try to associate with devotees considered more advanced than you. Now that doesn't mean that in order for you to find a devotee to associate with, that devotee has to come riding it on a swan. You know, let's be humble. It doesn't take much for someone to be more advanced than us. Let's not make it into such an esoteric. You know what esoteric means? It's such an esoteric, mystical thing. Well, you're supposed to associate with devotees more advanced than you. Well, it's going to be hard. There's certainly none around here. Anything else? Yes. If you see that everything belongs to Krishna and you belong to Krishna, then you will always try to make adjustments for Krishna's pleasure. That's a devotee. A devotee just doesn't sit back and say, "Never mind what happens, just tolerate." That's a material platform of yoga. We are spiritual yogis. We are looking to see how can Krishna get more pleasure. And we don't tolerate Krishna's getting less pleasure. So we're always trying to do our best to make things better for Krishna. And in the course of our trying to make things better for Krishna, if we have to tolerate a little inconvenience, we don't mind. So we're not really so much caught up in our own likes and dislikes. The bhakta, the true devotee, is always caught up in Krishna's pleasure. How are the devotees being cared for? How are the deities being cared for? Are the conditioned souls receiving opportunity to hear about Krishna? These are the anxieties of a devotee. So we don't just tolerate when it comes to devotional service. We're very active. We're very proactive about Krishna's pleasure. And we're a little lazy about our own pleasure. If you keep that as a guiding principle in your life, you'll attract Krishna's attention. When you like someone who is always concerned with how you feel rather than even how they feel themselves, of course, you're a very nice person. You understand the true meaning of life. It's amazing. What we want for ourselves, we have difficulty giving to Krishna. It's embarrassing, isn't it? We'd love it if there was someone always waiting on us night and day. How do you feel? What would you like? Is everything okay? Is something I can do more for you? I think when people marry, they have that expectation, yes? You'd like it. Admit it. Even though it doesn't happen, you'd still like it. So we're part of Krishna. Therefore, we have those tendencies. But a devotee is simply thinking, how can Krishna best be served? And automatically the devotee is taken care of because the devotee is part of Krishna. This is the mysticism of bhakti. I know it's hard, you think, to learn. How can I act on the principle of just Krishna's pleasure and automatically I'll be taken care of? I mean, really? You may say that. Just serve Krishna. Everything about you will be fine. You may repeat it. You may write it down on your initiation test. But to act that way, to live that way, seems difficult. We require training and a culture that inspires devotees to realize that if I try to serve Krishna, if I focus on Krishna's pleasure, automatically I'll be taken care of. It's mysticism of in the highest way. It doesn't make sense materially. That's why materialists can't understand it. And even materially affected devotees can't understand it. Why are you giving of yourself so much? Think of yourself more. Sometimes even materially affected devotees will say that. Just do more for yourself. All those who are trying to engage you in devotional service, they don't really care about you. So this is a great achievement in your spiritual life to truly understand that if I serve Krishna, automatically I'll be taken care of. It's something to strive for. It can happen. It's not impossible. Only on that platform does real happiness begin. And you're not even thinking about your own happiness. It's very mystical. It's contradictory. I know. But every sincere devotee has to walk through this doorway. It's what separates the real devotees from the wannabes.